And now for reading and writing and radio.
I shook and shook the ketchup, but it wouldn't come out. And so I stamped the bottle on the table, and a blob of ketchup shot up and made a big red splat on the ceiling. Hold your hamburger under it, Daddy said. If you're lucky, it'll drip.
That sort of writing is sometimes called a Woody poem. Its author is Jacqueline Jackson. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University. To begin today's program, here's Ken Ost.
What is a Woody poem? Is a Woody poem a poem at all? Can you sit down and write Woody poems, or do you have to run around listening for them? Jackie, where did you discover Woody poems?
Well, one of the things that I've found the most fun as a byproduct of being a published author is that the company has sent me several times to the book fairs.
What's a book fair?
Well, various large cities, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, get large numbers of children's books, all the new books the companies send and the best books of former years, and these are put on display. And the kids look over the books and make lists of the books that they'd like to own, and there are authors and artists who are on hand.
This is a real fair, then, and the people are coming from all points of the country to this one central place for this.
And some authors, I know, consider it a very grueling sort of thing, and they hate to do it, and they come only because their companies want them to. But I love it, and I love talking to the children, and I love talking to the other authors and artists, people whose books I have admired, or getting to know people whose books that I don't know. One of these persons a couple of years ago was a woman named Mary Neville, who I met at Cleveland, and I liked her very much. She was a bright, vivacious sort of woman, and I liked the way she talked, and I liked her ideas, and so as soon as I could, I went and looked up her book. It was a small little book called Woody and Me. Why don't you read a few little selections out of Woody and Me? The first one there is called Pleasant Street.
In our town, there's a street called Pleasant Street. We don't live on it. At breakfast, if Woody and me are arguing, Mother says, well, they wouldn't let us live on Pleasant Street. And that's it.
That's it, yes. It's just a little illumination. Most of them are brief. They're written out like poems, and yet they don't sound like you sometimes expect poems to sound.
Does a poem have to sound like a poem?
No. This is one of the misconceptions about poetry, that a poem sounds like a poem. There is a rhythm to these, but there is a rhythm to many people's ordinary speech. Some people talk flat as a pancake, but many people talk with a kind of rhythm that you could say all their talk is poetry, if you were trying to define it. Well, now, I don't want to define whether these little stories, whether these little anecdotes are necessarily poems or not. They happen to be written out, sort of stretched down the page like a poem. But they don't have rhyme, and they are about subjects that lots of people don't think are subjects for poems. Let's see. Try... here, the one about social studies is one that I probably especially like because I'm a mother, and it speaks so to my condition.
Social studies. Woody says, let's make our soap. It's easy. We learned about it in school. And he told Mother, all you do is take a barrel, bore holes in the sides, and fill it with straw, ashes on top. No, said Mother. It's easy.
Let's see. There's the one about changing places.
The principal said, try to put yourself in my place next time. I tried, but I just couldn't.
And then there's one called 3 minutes that my kids and I have enjoyed.
Woody was practicing for his oral book report. It had to be just 3 minutes, teacher said. That sure isn't very much time, Woody said. I'll have to leave out half the book. But I suppose that 3 minutes of someone talking can seem very continuous.
They aren't all that brief. There's some that are, you know, rather long stories. The story about the squad car.
That is quite a story.
Is one that I think is worth reading.
The squad car. Woody had a birthday party without any girls. He got 7 guns from 7 boys and a Dick Tracy detective squad car from me. He loved the guns, but most of all he loved the squad car with mean-looking detectives painted on, looking out the windows for robbers, and a siren, a flashing spotlight, and a wind-up key. The 7 boys and Woody and me wound and wound and wound that key. We pulled down all the shades. That squad car went circling around, flashing its spotlight, screaming its siren, like a real car going to a robbery, about 90 miles an hour. Then, somehow, the key got knocked down a hole in the wall where Daddy was fixing the wiring. Oh, how we fished for that key, the 7 boys and Woody and me. But it was down inside the wall. Mother wrote a letter to the toy company for a new key. They never answered. Mother tied a magnet to a string and let it down the hole in the wall. And the magnet came up with 3 safety pins and a paperclip. Daddy tried pliers and things in the keyhole, but the squad car just sat. A neighbor loaned us an old-fashioned clock key, but it didn't fit our squad car. Nearly 1 year passed. The 7 guns were all broken and in pieces, but the squad car on a shelf was as shiny and bright as the day it was made.
Well, now that's a story, and it's got a little sadness to it, and it's something that we've all experienced, not necessarily with a squad car, but with something else. Maybe you should read the sequel to it, the last part of the squad car story.
It was nearly Woody's next birthday. Then Mother had an idea. Why don't we get Woody another squad car? Then he'll have 2 cars and a key. It was a secret between Mother and Dad and me. Can you guess? The Dick Tracy detective squad car, that year's model, had the key welded into the keyhole. Daddy said the toy company must have gotten 100,000 letters about lost keys. No wonder they never answered. Woody had this next birthday party without any girls. He got a lot of guns from a lot of boys and the new squad car from me. He said I could have the old squad car. I used to push it around a little sometimes. And one day I met a new friend. On his toy shelf in a box of rubber bands and old Cracker Jack prizes, I saw a Dick Tracy squad car key. I used to have a squad car, he said, but it got wrecked. I traded him 3 marbles for the key. Mother and Dad and Woody and me wound and wound and wound that key. Boy, do 2 squad cars make a lot of noise.
Well, I discovered this book and had been reading these poems with considerable delight just as my own daughter came home from school. And so she came and stood in the door and proceeded to relate to me a little incident that had happened in school that day. And as soon as she left, I was still in the frame of mind from having been reading these little Woody incidents, and I wrote it down in a line like a poem, even though she hadn't said it like a poem. and ended up with a Woody-type poem that I called "Eh." And you have it there.
All right. And we'll explain what that "eh" means here. Today in gym, I couldn't play because of my sprained foot, so I picked dandelions. I stuck them in the fence to spell high, but the wind kept blowing them out. Finally, I got them to stay and limped to the outfield to see how it looked to the other kids. And it said, "Eh."
Well, Demi was delighted with the poem, and so we caught a few other Woody poems ever since then. That was a year or so ago. I have tried to keep my ears open for Woody poems, and we came up with some. Here's one called "Cyclops."
When you put your nose on my nose and we stare into each other's eyes, until your eyes glide into one eye, and so do mine, then we're playing Cyclops.
And the one that doesn't have a title, I suppose we could call it Potatoes or something like that.
When the dinger dinged to show the potatoes were done, nobody was around. I didn't know what to do, so I set the dinger for a few more minutes.
Our four-year-old is talking a lot in Woody poems these days. The other day I jotted down two that especially struck me, little observations that she made. The first one I called "Dressing on a Cold Morning" by Elspeth, age 4 1/2.
First I get my clothes warm, then my clothes get me warm, right?
And the other one, I was making complaints about the way our 11-year-old was cleaning up the kitchen, which was her job for the evening. And Elspeth looked up at me and said this, which I call "Listening to Mommy Complaining."
I bet you wish that picking up meant just sitting around, right? This is interesting, in that Elspeth likes to pin it down.
Right? Yes, she says right about most things. Well, not only do we have new Woody poems from the family, but I realized that we have been writing these down for years. When the children would say something to me that I thought was especially apt, and sometimes when I myself would have a thought, I would jot it down, not necessarily thinking that I was writing a poem, but I realized later after seeing these little Woody poems that those were indeed this sort of composition.
Well, obviously in your family you have thought in terms of a certain type of poem now as in calling it a Woody poem.
Yes.
And this could be...
And we hadn't realized that, see, until, well, 2 years ago, I guess it was, when we discovered Woody. But I had some things written down from earlier. For instance, Megan, when she was 8, she's 13 now, came up to me and said this.
Do you know what love is to me? It's when I'm swimming in cold water and suddenly hit a warm spot. I know what she means.
And I said to Megan, when she said that, I said, "Megan, that's a poem." And she looked sort of surprised, and she said, "Is it?" And so I said, "Sure, let's write it down." And so we wrote it down, and we sent it into Jack and Jill magazine, but they didn't publish it. Maybe they think poems have to rhyme, too. One day, Jill came in the house in close to tears and with a look of outrage on her face, and here was what she said to me.
"I was just standing under a tree, and a blue jay flew down and sat on my head and pecked me."
And then another day, we were on our way to Vermont, and we're on the New York Thruway and had stopped into one of those big restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crowded, there weren't enough seats, and so the family had to split up. And I was sitting, I think, with our four-year-old at a counter, and Megan, who was then 11 or 12, came up to me with a angry but also a wicked look on her face. And here is what she said.
"When Daddy is old and wrinkly and tottery and hasn't any hair and hasn't any teeth, I'm going to take him to a restaurant and tell him he can spend just 60 cents. And that title, Revenge, I think is appropriate.
Yes, Revenge.
In other words, you're writing poetry without sitting down and writing poetry. You're doing it
in reverse order. You can do it both ways. If you were going to say, now I'm going to write some witty poems, I think you could, recalling incidents, but you can also have a good ear for witty poems in what somebody else says, your little brother or your friends or your mother or yourself. If Megan had said, do you know what love is to me? And then as she finished it, thought to herself, gee, I'd like to write that down. There, you see, she would have been writing down her own observation, her own poem, so that I think you can both catch a witty poem, as I have caught some of them here, and you can write one. And I think they're both valid styles of composition, because so much of what a writer does is catching on to what's around him, recognizing where there is something well said or uniquely said the way nobody else says it, this sort of thing, that it isn't all something that he thinks up straight out of his own head, that you have to have good ears, I think, to be a good author. And so the witty poems would be exercising your ears as well as your memory, say, about incidents and your imagination. But I'd give a word about writing these if you don't catch them. If you catch them, they're going to come any time, and your ears have to be tuned to when somebody says something to you or when you have a sudden thought to get it down. But if you're going to sit at a desk and say, now I will write a witty poem, don't be discouraged if one doesn't flow. Give yourself a little bit of time. It's like the potatoes poem. It might not be there right away. I didn't know what to do, and so I set the dinger for a few more minutes. So if your potatoes aren't quite done when you try to write, maybe you do know what to do, and that would be to just have patience, wait a little bit, set your dinger for a few more minutes.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.